All right, I'm going to share the word with you for just a few minutes. I'm not going to take long. So, kids, y'all been great this morning so far. So, just stay with me just for a little bit longer. And I'm just thrilled today to have my grandson Elliot here with me today. And he's my buddy. He spent the night with me last night. And I'm glad he's with me this morning. And you're going to get to see a couple of my other grandchildren on video in a few minutes here during my message. So let's pray over the Word of God. Father, we thank you for your Word right now. I thank you, Lord, for every person here, every family. Lord, I thank you for every child here today. Father, what a privilege it is and has been to minister to these precious children, Father. And we just thank you for the seeds of your Word being planted in their hearts, Father, over these last few days and on an ongoing basis, Lord, as Amanda directs our children's ministry and as parents minister to their children at home. We thank you, Lord, that those seeds of your Word will produce fruit in our children and in each of our lives, Father. We thank you for that today in the name of Jesus. Lord, open our hearts to receive your Word today. Open our ears that we would hear. Open our eyes that we would see what you would have us to see today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So let's go back to the scripture that I opened up the service with, Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. Elliot, come sit down right over there because you're in front of the camera for our live stream. There we go. All right. Thank you. All right. Good job. Just stay in that seat right there and you'll be great. All right. Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it." I hope that makes some of you feel better today. It's all right. Jesus became irate and let the people know he was irate. But it was a righteous anger, of course, that he had. Jesus was irate and let them know it. "Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this: unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessing on them. So this passage is one of the many passages in the gospel that records Jesus' ministry to children, and it underscores the importance that the Lord places on children. And again, it says, the scripture says here, these children are the very center of life in the kingdom. I love the way the Message Bible reads that. Children are the very center of life in the kingdom of God. They're not a periphery. They're not an afterthought. They're not something that, oh, wow, you know, children. Oh, yeah, we forgot about them. They're the very center of life in the kingdom of God. And that's why we see, of course, in our day, we see the diabolical attack of Satan against the family and against children. Why? Because they're at the very center of life in the kingdom of God. Satan hates the kingdom of God. He hates God, and he wants to try to touch and wreck and pervert and destroy the kingdom of God. So that's why he goes after the children. But thank God we can surround our children with the Word of God and with faith in God, and we can train them up in the way that they should go. Amen? Praise God. And looking at this scripture too, you know, you think about the disciples here. These parents were bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples were shooing them away. They said, "No, you know, get away. Jesus is busy." And, you know, I don't know if Jesus appointed them to do this or they just took it upon themselves, but they kind of acted as screeners for the people that got to Jesus. They would kind of, "Well, no, you get in, you don't get in." They kind of acted in that role. It might have been self-appointed, I don't know. But they did that. And you think about all the multitudes that wanted to get to Jesus, the multitudes of needy people that were desperate to touch Jesus and get to Jesus. And so in this particular case, parents were bringing their children to Jesus, and they wanted Jesus to lay his hands on them and bless them. These people recognized that there was something special about Jesus. They recognized that there was something in Jesus that they wanted to have imparted to their children. And that's what we ought to recognize as parents and grandparents, that Jesus has something that we need to make sure is imparted into our kids. Amen? Amen. And these parents recognized that. And so they were coming around, gathering around to get to Jesus. And the disciples looked at them and they thought, wait a minute, you know, these kids look perfectly healthy to us. They're not bound with some demon. They're not afflicted with some disease. You know, Jesus doesn't have time for these children. They're all right. They seem like they're okay. Jesus needs to get to the people that are bound in sin, bound with demons, people that are afflicted with disease. And yes, Jesus did minister to those people, certainly. But the disciples, they had it backwards. They had it wrong. They were saying, basically, Jesus doesn't have time for you today. And again, look at verse 14, what Jesus said there. It says, Jesus was irate. First part of the verse there. It says, Jesus was irate, and he let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. See, the disciples wrongly assumed that the gospel and salvation and wholeness and healing, that's for the adults. These are spiritual matters that children wouldn't understand or wouldn't appreciate anyway. But Jesus' next words corrected their erroneous thinking. He says, these children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. And then he says in verse 15, mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. And so he was letting his disciples know that their thinking was backwards. Instead of waiting for a person to grow up and become an adult and get bound in sin and get riddled with disease and demons, wouldn't it be better? Wouldn't it be better for them to, as a child, for them to learn to walk with Jesus and live with Jesus and live for Jesus and walk in wholeness spiritually and physically both all the days of their life? Wouldn't that be better? That's what these parents recognized, and they said, we want your blessing, Jesus, on our children from day one. We don't want to wait till they grow up and they fall into sin and they get bound. We want them walking with you all the days of their life. Amen. And that's God's desire, I believe, for us. Amen. And he says, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in. And again, we've had it backwards. We've thought, well, you know, salvation and redemption and the kingdom of God, these are concepts that are just too complex for children to understand. I like what the wonderful Bible teacher Charles Capps, he's gone on to be with the Lord now, but Charles Capps made a statement one time. He said, you have to have help to misunderstand the Bible. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of help, haven't we? We've made it complicated. We've had theologians and such make it so complicated and so complex. But Jesus said, no, the things of God are simple. We accept the kingdom. We receive the kingdom as children. Amen? It's not complex. It's trust in the Lord with all your heart. Hallelujah. Amen? What could be simpler than that? Amen. And we see through the scriptures, we see examples of Jesus ministering to children. We see Jairus came to Jesus and his 12-year-old daughter was at the point of death. And we see that actually on the way there, Jesus was on the way there to heal Jairus' daughter, and she died while Jesus was on the way there. And Jesus turned to her father and said, don't fear, only believe. And Jesus raised that little 12-year-old girl from the dead. We find that story in Mark chapter 5. We find in Mark chapter 9 the story of the epileptic boy healed. He was having these seizures and it was demonically instigated. A demon was tormenting him. And the father came and said, have mercy on us, Lord. If you can do anything, have mercy on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And Jesus healed that boy. We find the record in John 4 of Jesus healing the nobleman's son. And in Matthew chapter 15, the Syrophoenician woman who had a daughter that was afflicted by demons, Jesus healed and delivered her. And there are many others that we could look through the scripture of Jesus ministering to children, bringing healing to children. Praise God. And here in this passage we just read, where Jesus laid his hands on the children and blessed them. And then we find that Jesus used what a little boy offered to him to feed over 5,000 people. Jesus is ministering. I want to spend a few moments on this account. Jesus is ministering to a large crowd of people. They were outside. They had followed him outside the town or city. There was no close access to any food markets where they were at. And he realizes that the people have been with him all day long. He's been teaching them all day. They're out on this countryside, and he's taught them all day long. He's healed their sick. And now they're hungry physically. They've been out there all day, hadn't had anything to eat. Well, what are they going to do? Where are they going to find enough food for everyone? He came to his disciples, and they said, well, do you want us to go into the town and buy food and then bring it back so everybody can eat? And he said, no, we don't need to go to all that trouble. He said, you give them something to eat. And so they searched around, and we'll pick up the account in John chapter 6 and verse 8. This is in the New Living. It says, then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. There's a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Somebody said, well, you know, trying to explain away the miracle that you know is about to take place, tried to explain that away. He says, well, you know, back then, I mean, the loaves were a lot bigger. It's a little boy's lunch. He's got 5 little breadsticks and 2 fish, and other translation says 2 small fish. It's his lunch. His mother's packed him a lunch, and he goes out to play and then sees the crowd and follows the crowd, or either his parents are there, we don't know. But that's the only food that they found, this little boy's lunch. He's got 5 breadsticks, and he's got 2 little fish. All right? And Andrew says, but what good is that with this huge crowd? In other words, this child doesn't have anything of significance to offer. What a huge mistake. What a huge mistake for us to make when we think, oh, these children, they don't have anything significant to offer. Oh, yes, they do. Amen? And so they get that. So Andrew tells Jesus about it, and Jesus goes into action. Verse 10, it says, tell everyone to sit down. Jesus said, so they all sat down on the grassy slopes. The men alone numbered 5,000. Now, if you look in this congregation today and you count the men, that's going to be less than a third of the people that are in here. Adult men would be probably less than a third of all the people that are in here right now, because we've got women, we've got children. And so if you just use the number of a third, then that means there's 15,000 people in that crowd that day. There were 5,000 men besides the women and children, it says. And so there was a huge crowd of people. Then Jesus took the loaves, those 5 little breadsticks, and he gave thanks to God and distributed them to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish. And they all ate as much as they wanted. They didn't have just a little taste. They ate as much as they wanted. It was Jesus turned those 5 breadsticks and those 2 little fish into an all-you-can-eat buffet for 15,000 people. Think about it. After everyone was full, Jesus told his disciples, now gather up the leftovers. There was not only enough to feed them all, but they had leftovers so that nothing is wasted. So they picked up the pieces and filled 12 baskets with scraps left by the people who had eaten from the 5 barley loaves. What a miracle. This is perhaps, and one way you could look at it is, this is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever performed. And this miracle was precipitated, this miracle was facilitated by what a little boy offered. You think children are important in the kingdom of God? Amen. They're at the very center of life in the kingdom. Amen. Amen. And then we forward in the ministry of Jesus, we forward to Palm Sunday. So Palm Sunday, Jesus enters into Jerusalem and he's riding on the donkey, remember? And the people are spreading the palm branches out on the road before Jesus, and they're waving the palm branches and spreading their coats out, and they're crying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then from there, Jesus goes into the temple and he drives out the money changers and he heals the blind and the lame people. And while they're in the temple and while this is going on, in verse 15 of Matthew 21, it says, "But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did," and notice this, "and the children crying out in the temple and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,'" they were indignant. So they come into the temple, and that declaration of praise that their parents had been offering to Jesus when Jesus was riding in to the city on the donkey comes into the temple. The children, the families, the people follow him in there, and the children are still praising him. The children are crying and shouting in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They're praising God. And the chief priests and the scribes got mad about it. It says they were indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, I do." And I can just imagine a big smile across his face as he says that. "Yes," he said, "have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise.'" Hallelujah. So they're in the temple praising God. They're praising Jesus. They're acknowledging that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. When they were saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David," when those kids were doing that, that was a declaration and that was an acknowledgement. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Praise God. And again, where'd they learn to say that? Well, they learned it from mom and dad. They saw, I hope you remember this, they saw their parents praising God. They saw their parents. Our kids and our grandkids need to see us praising God. They need to see us praying. Amen. That's where these kids picked that up. Praise God. They heard their parents doing it when Jesus rode into town. And so Jesus said, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you've perfected praise.'" He's quoting a scripture. He said, "Have you never read this?" And that was just a little sarcastic dig. You know, Jesus had a little edge to him. He said, "These are the chief priests and the scribes, the experts in the law. Oh, I guess you never read this one, did you? Oh, I guess you never did read that script. You probably don't know this scripture, do you?" And they're like, "Ah." But he's quoting Psalm 8 and verse 2. And here's what it says. "You have taught children and infants to tell of your strength, silencing your enemies and all who oppose you." There's power in praise, yes, but there's power in the praise of children. When children praise God, kids, you have a great secret weapon. You have a great secret weapon residing in you. And it's when you praise God, when you start singing about Jesus, and when you start praising God, that is a secret weapon that the Bible says silences the devil. The enemies and those who oppose God, that's the devil. And that's Satan, and that's everything bad and evil. When we praise God, it silences the devil. When we praise God, it weakens the devil. Hallelujah. The Message Bible says this, "Nursing infants gurgle choruses about you. Toddlers shout the songs that drown out enemy talk and silence atheist babble." Hallelujah. Don't you love it? Praise God. Those little songs like, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Ken Blunt, who's ministered here before, he and his wife Trudy, and and has had tremendous ministry among children for over 30 years, made this statement. He says, "The songs we teach our children when they're young will become their songs of comfort as adults." I love that. The songs we teach our children when they're young will become their songs of comfort as adults. I want to show you a little video. These are two more of my grandkids, my grandson Rowan and his little sister Pearl. This was a year ago on the streets of Paris, France. They're out on the streets of Paris. They got to go to Paris with their mama and their grandmother on a special trip last summer. And so this was Rowan is still four. He'll be five. He'll be five on Saturday. He's just a little younger than Elliot. And so this is when he was, before he would turn four. He was still just 3 years old. And his little sister Pearl is getting a little anxious and fidgety in her stroller there. And so Rowan's going to minister to her. So watch this.
Weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. That's I know. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me, that's I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
All right. Oh, praise the Lord. That's my grandson, and that I know I'm partial to my grandkids as you are with yours, and you should be, but I know your grandkids can and do the same thing, and there's power in that. Amen. There's power in that. Amen. Praise God. We see other examples. I'll wrap this up, and Reed, are you still around? Come on up. Is he still around? All right. He's doing duty back there, but we'll get him back up here. But we see other examples as we look through the Old Testament. You know, when Samson defeated the Philistines and after they had taken him prisoner and put out his eyes, you remember when he destroyed the temple of Dagon and destroyed the Philistines? Remember how that occurred? Remember there was a little boy? Samson couldn't see to position himself between those pillars to be able to push him down without the aid of a little boy. And a little boy guided him into position where he could accomplish that great victory for Israel. A child did that. Praise God. We all know about David. David was a teenager when he killed Goliath, probably around 16 years old when he killed Goliath. And by that time, he had already developed an amazing faith in God, because he said, "I've already killed the lion. I've already killed the bear. The Lord delivered me from the lion. He delivered me from the bear, and he'll deliver me from you, Goliath." And he did. David, as a teenager, as a young man, brought about a great victory for Israel. Samuel the prophet began hearing the voice of God as a little child, probably around 3-4 years old. Josiah, one of the greatest kings of the kingdom of Judah, Josiah became king at age 8. At 8 years old, he became king. Can God use children? Oh, yes, he can. Absolutely, he can. Praise God. I want to just wrap it up with this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. This is Paul's exhortation to Timothy, who was his protege, who was a young pastor. And he says this to Timothy, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." I pray that that what's happened with our kids over these last 2 days has just added to what they are learning and what they are becoming convinced of. Praise God. And he says, because you know those from whom you learned it. Well, Paul, in another place here in Timothy, Paul references Timothy's mother and grandmother. And he said, the faith that's in you that was first in your mother and or first in your grandmother and in your mother, and now it's in you. Well, he learned the precious truths of God from his mother and his grandmother. All right. He says, continue in them and the things that you've learned and become convinced of, because you know from whom those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy. When did they start with Timothy? When did they start teaching him the Word of God? From infancy. From infancy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. I love, if you look back here in this corner of the auditorium, and do we have the lights up over there, Mike? Okay. Brighten them up a little more if you can, where folks can see back over here on this side in this corner. There we go. Good. If you see those posters that are up back there, these are the truths that our kids were learning this weekend. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. There's no greater truth that our children can learn. Do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah 41:10. In Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. Colossians 1:14. There is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And then the last one, through His name, Jesus, everyone who believes in Him receives forgiveness of sins. That's Acts 10:43, I think it is, somewhere in there. All right. These are the precious truths that our children were receiving. And these are the precious truths that we all ought to impart into our children and into our grandchildren. There's no greater gift that we can give our children and our grandchildren than the knowledge of salvation through faith in Jesus. Amen? Why? Because children are at the center of life in the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer right now. I want every adult and every child just to close your eyes for just a moment and just to bow your head for just a moment. And I want to give you an opportunity today, right now. If you've never invited Jesus into your heart, whether you're 80 years old or 8 years old or somewhere in between there or 4 years old, whatever your age is here, he said, well, you know, kids have to be 12 or 13 before they can understand the gospel and be saved. I know my grandmother always used to tell me about her sister, Alice, who got saved when she was 5 years old. And my grandmother used to talk about that all the time. And she said, yeah, there were some people that didn't believe that she could get saved at that young. And my grandmother said, but I know it was real because her sister Alice walked with the Lord all the days of her life and served God. So wherever you're at in here today, whatever age, I want to give you an opportunity. The scripture that we just quoted from that's on our poster here, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That's all we have to do. We have to recognize that we need a Savior. We have to recognize that we need Jesus. We can't save ourselves. And that we need a Savior. We've all sinned. We've all done things that are wrong. We've all disobeyed. We've all done things that we shouldn't have done. We've all been greedy. We've all been unkind to other people. We all need a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. There's no other name given to people by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. Jesus, the very first scripture, it says those parents, those families were bringing their children to Jesus that He might bless them. I just want to, in the name of Jesus, I know I'm not Jesus, but as a representative of the Lord today, I want to bless our children this morning. So, and you join me. Let's stretch our hands out to all of our precious children that are in here today, and let's bless them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank You for these precious children, Lord, that you've given to us as our children, as our grandchildren, as children that are part of this church, as children that are here for our VBS celebration. Father, we bless them today in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray, Lord, that for Your grace to be upon their lives. We pray, Father, for Your protection to be over them, over their spirits, over their minds, and over their bodies. We pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that each of these children would acknowledge You and receive You as Lord and Savior at an early age, and that they would walk with You all the days of their lives. We pray, Father, that they would not know one day outside the presence of God. And we thank You, Father, that each one of them will acknowledge and recognize the divine plan and purpose that You have for their lives, and that they would recognize Your voice, even as Samuel learned Your voice. They would recognize when You're speaking to them in their hearts, and they would recognize that voice, and they would follow You and walk with You all the days of their lives. We thank You for that, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank You for the privilege that we have to partner with You, Lord, to entrust Your life-giving truth to them. In Jesus' name, we thank You. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.